Bibles, I'd ask you to turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4 is where we're going to take our text. While you're turning there, we'll remind everybody and give you an invitation. We will have a missions conference the last weekend of May, Memorial Day weekend, and we're doing it a little bit different this year. We are going to have several missionaries, but we're going to focus on because of the times. And if you haven't looked around lately, we're in a mess. And that's what we're going to be focusing on. Revelation chapter 4 in the very first verse. The Bible says, "After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow about the throne in sight unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." I like to preach this evening, the Lord being my helper, on the thought, what will it take to bring you to your knees? Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you for another opportunity to meet with your people. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that this conference often brings in reminding us that we're not alone, but there are many that are still left. Lord God, tonight we pray that you would allow us just to focus in on you. Lord, to focus on our personal relationship with you and the things that could be lacking. Lord, we pray that you would bless this time together tonight, Lord, that you would stir up your people to your service. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, fairly familiar verses of Scripture. In the first three chapters, we find the seven churches of Asia addressed. And I've heard that preached in a lot of different ways, and I suppose there's a measure of truth in all of it as church ages and as individual churches. I personally believe he was addressing true churches. You know, and again, I see what they're saying in the Laodicean area, but see, the thing with that, it excuses the church at Ephesus. You know who was responsible for the church at Ephesus? The church at Ephesus. You know who was responsible for the problems at Laodicea? The church at Laodicea. You know what? If there's problems here tonight, you know who's responsible? Home Baptist Church. And if there's problems in Tennessee, you know who's responsible? New Testament Baptist Church. You know, we got to get back used to accountability, don't we? To say, yeah, it's my fault. So after he addresses all those individuals, then he comes to chapter 4, and he says, after this, in other words, after those revelations of church letters, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open unto me in heaven. Now, John the apostle received this from the Lord God, and you know what? I understand, and even the end of this book says, anybody that adds anything with them, the curses will be added in the book. But you're going to tell me every time you open that book, you hear from God. And I would have to say, you're probably a liar. Right? Because sometimes I open it up and ain't nothing more than a Sears and Roebuck catalog. And you know why? Because the Spirit's not there. You know what? We as the Lord's people, we need to quit minimizing the Holy Ghost, don't we? You know what? The Pentecostals didn't come up with that. The Bible did. And so we ought to embrace then the very fact and the very truth of the Holy Spirit. And so it was opened up, and the first voice I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. Now, I'm not very much on the military. My dad was in there, and when I say that, I just don't know nothing about it. The last few months, I've been working at a nursing home, and it's all veterans. And I've learned a little bit more about what military life is, but I do know this, a trumpet's to call you to order. It is to bring you to attention. And that's exactly what this was for John. It was to get his attention. You know what we need in 2018? We need to go, you know what? God will bring things into your life that will bring you to attention. He has a way of doing that. And you know what? We desperately need it. We really do. And so he makes this trumpeting sound, and it got John's attention. And then he got a command, come up hither. Now, we as Sovereign Grace people, we don't like to address, and listen, I do not believe in the free will of man in the very, very least, but I will say you, tell you this, the redeemed are free agents. Amen. And when you say no, it upsets God. And you know what? This is the thing we have to acknowledge. We can say no for a little while. If you don't believe that, ask Jonah. He'll tell you it's not a good idea, but you can say no. But you know what? The sovereign will of God has always worked out. And you know what? It's kind of hard the way that we want to do it, ain't it? You know what? We'd be so much better off just to be obedient. And so we find that we don't see any resistance in John, but rather he's obedient, and he goes up. And immediately I was in the Spirit. There's that word again that we want to walk around and give to the Pentecostals, but you know what? We need to stop minimizing the work of the Holy Ghost. What does the Bible say? When the Lord Jesus, he was just before ascending, he said, I will send you a comforter. Amen. And who did he say would be? Right? And so we ought to be reverent and excited about the member of the Godhead that we get to enjoy. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now, I personally believe that he was beholding the very person of God. He got so, you know what, you don't get this type of experience by watching soap operas and then saying a 5-minute prayer. Right? This was an unusual man. Best I understand, at this very moment, he was out on an island, set there to starve to death. And you know what? This is the wonderful thing. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. In other words, he's having church on Sunday. He might have been by himself. And you know what? Don't tell me either that every service that you're in the Spirit, that's a lie. That's a lie. Because you know what? There have been a whole lot of times I've went, both as a preacher and as a member, that I was just as far off as I could be. But John the apostle wasn't like this. He was in the Spirit, and the Lord used him in a mighty way. He beholds the person of God. Verse 4, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats was 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, I will not get into the 24 elders because I'll just be honest, you don't know who they are, and I don't either. Right? I get so sick of people trying to figure this one. You know what? You know what I can say about this? They were redeemed. That's about as far as I can go. And so we find then that these individuals were sitting about the throne enjoying the presence of God. Can you imagine that? Just sitting in the presence of the Almighty, enjoying what He had for you. That would be a glorious and wonderful thing. Now drop down to verse 9 for time's sake. And when the beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne. Now the beast, we kind of skipped their description, but they are what they are. They're beasts. Beasts are not free agents. Beasts will do what you tell them. You know what the angels do? They do what they're told. You know why Michael came down? Because he was told to. You know what Gabriel visited Mary? Because he was told to. And so whatever this beast is, it was just doing what it was programmed to do. And that is giving great glory and honor to God. But when you're a free agent, you have more to give. Because you know what? You can decide to or decide not to. And you know what? We're so scared in the modern day of being called a holy roly. That we blame the sovereignty of God for not worshiping Him. Right?
That's right.
You know what the Bible says? I would, 2 Timothy maybe, or 2 Thessalonians, I would that men would lift their hands everywhere. Now, if we did that at a good Sovereign Grace Baptist meeting, what would happen?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm being serious, right? And so we see then, as the Lord's people, a lot of times what we do is out of fear of others. So that this beast, or these four beasts, what they were, give glory to God. And then as a response in verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power.
Amen.
Woo, what a time. You know, just taking the crown off and throwing it down there before Him. And you know, it says they laid down. Well, when we quit getting embarrassed, that'll be a good thing, won't it? I'll tell you what, it won't stand in your way the day that we begin to worship Him, will it? Tennessee's a crazy place, y'all that visit me down there. But, you know, we don't have regular Presbyterians down home. We have Cumberland Presbyterian because they all sit along Cumberland River. And you know what? They get happy. That's why the rest of the Presbyterians rejected Him, because they's a little bit too holy-roly for Him. And so, you know what? We don't have to be foolish, but we ought to be worshipful. We ought to be worshipful. And so we find then at this time when sin is set aside, and let me say this, this was before the judgment of Satan. And I believe the revelation is sequential. That's my own belief on that. And we don't find Satan cast away till 19. And so even with the presence of Satan still around, they're worshiping God. You know what? That means we're without excuse. Does it not? It means that we can't say but and. Right? And so we find then a commodity, an unusual event in this time. So what gets in the way now from you simply going like this and say, you're worthy? You know, I say when most people kneel, we get our little Catholic wearies going, don't we? But you know, is that not the position we ought to be in?
Amen.
That's a position of a servant. That's a position of an individual who's under someone else's authority. And so if that's true and we have our stiff Baptist backs, then the only thing that I could come to with that is we're self-righteous. Right? We're standing proud on our 5 points and our church truth, right? Uh-oh, don't stone me, brother. But I mean, really, is that not what keeps us from us? Is our pride in what we've been taught? And I'm not minimizing any of those things. I believe them to be the very oracles of the Word of God. But at the same time, when did we become pious in them? When do we become self-righteous in the truths? I don't think they were ever determined to make us a proud people, but they have. A people that won't bow. A people that won't kneel. Now let me say this. The flesh has always been that way. Ever since the fall of man, we've tried, if you don't believe that, just look at Cain. And you know what? My son taught on this recently and gave me a new thought about those events that led up to Abel's death. You know, it never said what Cain brought was wrong, but how he brought it.
That's it.
And so we as the Lord's people, then oughtn't we be very careful when we come together? Oughtn't we better be very cautious and be sure that we're focused in on Him and not our Baptist pride?
Yep.
Certainly that's true. We ought to be focused in on what the Lord has given us rather than what man has given us. Now go with me back to Genesis very quickly. Genesis 18. Now this is one of the times that Abraham met God. Now let me say this. Abraham was a precursor of Baptists, because he had to meet God a bunch of times before he believed Him. Right? So this is just one of the times that Abraham met face to face with God. And this is an unusual time, and I like it because I believe all three persons of the Godhead came down and met with that man, sealing the covenant and the promise forevermore. And so, very, very special time. And the Lord appeared unto him, meaning Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. In other words, they appeared like that. And he saw them, and he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, let me interject this, give you some food for thought. He was never corrected for that. That's why I believe it was the Godhead. Because if it had been just simple angel messengers, it would be like when Samson's parents said, don't bow at me. And in glory, he said, I'm your fellow servant.
Yep.
And he's never rebuked in that way, so we have to believe that certainly it must be the very presence of God that was meeting with Abraham. Verse 3, and said, my Lord, now I love this, he addresses him singularly to three different people. If that's not the Godhead, I don't know what is. And so he says, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant, let a little water, I pray, you be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore ye shall come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou said. And you know the rest of the reading. He does just that. And then God says, you're going to have a son. And just like us, Abraham says, how can that be? In fact, he even says, it's after the manner of woman with Sarah. It's too late, God. You know what? Sometimes we really about convince ourselves. It's too late. The kids have gone too far. There's nothing left to be done. You know what? That's just simply not the God of the Bible. And if that's the one you're depending on, it's not the God of the Bible. And so we then find here that Abraham, as often is true, he does it right. He runs and gets him a calf, and he gets Sarah to make it up, and he presents a meal before him, and then he delivers him his plan. You know what? A lot of time we don't hear from God with His plan is because we don't give Him enough time.
Amen. That's true.
You know what? Real prayer takes a whole lot more than 15 or 20 minutes. I mean, if you really want to get a hold of God, don't think it's going to be one of these now I lay me down to sleep Catholic rhymes, because it's not going to happen.
Man.
And I believe Abraham knew a little something about prayer, don't you? Now, I don't think he necessarily understood the full mind of God, because remember what he said? He said, should we withhold from Abraham what we do? And he says, if it be, you know, he starts out with what, 50 righteous, and he works her own down. But this is the thing he didn't know about God. God knew how many righteous there was down there. And my own opinion is there was one. I don't even think Lot's girls were saved. They were wicked as they could be. But there was one. And so then we need to look at this as an example when we become before God. Is there anything that keeps you from bowing? He went and bowed himself before all three. And you know why? He didn't use age as an excuse, did he? By this point, if I've calculated upright, Abraham was 99 years old. I've met a lot of people to live in their 10th decade past 100. And you know, I don't know that I've ever met one that physically was able to bow. But this is the thrill. I met some that tried. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
And so that's where we need to be. No excuses. No pride. Nothing that's too much to be asked by God. And so what did it take for Abraham to bow? Just a visit from God. That was it. And that's a man that we ought to be like. Now, go with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 20. Very familiar verses of Scripture. 2 Kings chapter 20. In the first verse, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. You know what it took Hezekiah to get his attention? He was going to die. Now, you follow the life of Hezekiah. He was a good king, but he wasn't perfect. He had, you know, his biggest thing was defending his kids. Now, I could preach all night on that. That was his biggest problem. You know what? My kids are depraved and your kids are too. And the only thing that really we can depend on is if grace might intervene. And see, Hezekiah never got that. And if you really follow the Bible, David never got it. And Solomon never got it. It just never sunk in with them. And so, while you might get the boo-hoos over Hezekiah, I will say this, it was justified. And I'll go beyond that. It was to get his attention. Now, most of you know I'm a registered nurse by trade. When you preach like this, you don't get a full-time church. Or at least I haven't so far. So I've seen lots and lots and lots of people die. When I worked in the emergency room, a little hospital back home, very small, like 28 beds, very little tiny hospital. And we had rent-a-doctors out of Nashville to come in and work the ER. And they were mostly pretty good. They were students from Vanderbilt. And but there was this one in particular, and every night I worked, and he was working, I dreaded it. Because he would not go and say, "Your mama didn't make it." That was the nurse's job. And you know, it's not a very easy thing. And an elderly mother, you might say, well, this is anticipated. But you know what? The very same doctor I had to go and tell a mama that their 20-year-old boy didn't live the crash. And it's bad news. It's hard to carry that. And you know what? I believe that we live in a day, preachers, that were scared to carry bad news. The news is this. If Christ doesn't intervene, you're on your way to hell. The news is this. If you don't serve Him, you probably don't have nothing to start with. That's not pleasant anymore, is it?
No.
You won't find many amens over that, but you know what? The fruit bears what exactly it's supposed to. And if you're in rebellion to God and you've always been in rebellion to God, I don't care how many times you've said the sinner's prayer, probably you're on your way to hell. See, it's hard to say that to people, is it not? It's hard to be that honest, but see, we need to be, do we not? Do we not need to say this is the situation? And so we find here Hezekiah was dying. And you think about that. If you're too proud to bow your knees tonight, if you're too proud to go before the throne in that matter, you just remember Hezekiah. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That ain't one of them amen messages, is it? But you know what? It was the truth, was it not? And you know what I'm telling you? You're going to die. And you're going to die. And you're going to die too. If the Lord does not return everyone under the sound of my voice, we're facing death.
That's right, right.
And you know what? More than that, we deserve it. You know what? When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, He died to redeem this inward man. This flesh is still paying the penalty of sin.
That's right.
I was a little jealous of Brother Collins. He says, I ain't on no medicine. Well, I mean, I'm on enough for both of us. And you know why? Because his flesh is depraved.
Yeah.
It's sickly. And one day, if the Lord doesn't return, I'll be taken out of here with something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we as the Lord's people need to recognize and know that we need to bow now. Verse 2, and he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying. So when did he pray? When he got the bad news. You know, again, another pre-runner to the Baptists. You know when we pray? When we get the bad news. You know, a lot of times I see, the only time I see people pray is when their youngins get sick. And I'm sincere in that. And you know what? They're sincere prayers.
Yeah.
But isn't it a pity and a shame it takes that to bring them to their knees?
Right. Yeah.
And I've seen that. As a nurse, I see it time and time again. It has to get bad to bring them to their knees. And you know what? We oughtn't to be that way. But we are. We oughtn't to be that way, but among God's people, unfortunately in the modern day, I see it par for the course. And it ought not to be. Hezekiah says, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth, in a perfect or complete heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now, we know that before even Isaiah got out to the outward court. He says, you go back and tell Hezekiah I've heard his prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't it a sad thing that Hezekiah's prayer life had to be tuned up with some bad news? But every one of us is the same, are we not? Now, let me interject this. God's sovereign will is always accomplished. But I'm afraid there's far too many that live in the permissive will of God. Because, see, we had a child come out of that 15 years who was a devil here on earth. You think God's plan would have, God's full plan would have been, well, they'd never seen Jeroboam, right? He was a rebel from day one. And so then we as the Lord's people, we certainly oughtn't to wait for illness to bring us to this point, but we sometimes do. Before we'll say, Lord, you're sovereign and holy, and I am less than nothing. Before we say that, sometimes our health has to be endangered. You know, when you're tuned up with God, your health matters less. Most of you know, several years ago, I had to have, a little taken off the side, and not my hair, my brain. This is the truth. And my neurologist come and said, Larry, I cannot guarantee you that it wasn't cancer. We don't think it was, but I can't say for sure. You know what? Through all that ordeal, I'd gotten some close to God. And you know what? There'd been a lot of times since then. I'm not bragging because there's been a lot of times since then I've been far from Him. But you know what? I can truly say this. It didn't matter whether it was or not. And so sometimes things happen in your life to bring you closer. Personal tragedy in and of yourself. Not someone else, just you. And so then we as the Lord's people, we ought to go before the throne on our knees way before this. Now, go with me back to 2 Samuel, and I want to read just a quick verse from there. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we'll begin reading in verse 9. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9, the Bible says this, and this was the prophet addressing, this was Nathan addressing David. Now, what is the Bible's most famous quote concerning David? He was a man after God's own heart, right? And so with that knowledge, think about the sin that he got involved with. You know what? My sin will hurt me. I will guarantee you that. Now the tragedy is this. My sin can hurt my wife. It can hurt my children. And now, getting on in years, it can hurt my grandchildren. Right? What does the Bible say concerning the blessings to the third and fourth generation, right? So why would we think the curse would be any different? Because we want it to be, right? And so then we as the Lord's people, we need to understand and know that when we do these things, it's going to affect our children. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, I want you to see, and I'll interject this and very quickly move on, that David didn't actually gig him, but he was held responsible for it. And so you may not have been the one to do the gigging, but listen, that sin's still the same. And David proved that out for all of us to understand. Verse 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, the repercussions of sin, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, Absalom, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Now I want you to see Nathan and Bathsheba was left out of this. And you know what, the reason why? He realized it was against God. You know what? I believe we would stay out of trouble if we remember it's against God.
Amen.
It's not against our wife. It's not against our children. Every time we violate, it's against God. And so David, even though he was, listen, this was pretty smutty stuff, he realized that his real issue was a spiritual issue. You know why people don't get on their knees today? They don't realize it's a spiritual issue. That's the real thing. You know what? If you don't enjoy a sermon, you know whose fault it always is? It's the pastor's fault, right? Man, he didn't study much tonight, did he? Right? No. It's your fault.
Amen.
It's your fault. And so then we as the Lord's people, we need to take from David's example and claim some ownership. Verse 14. Howbeit, because by this deed Thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Now, I'll give you two things to think about. First of all, that brought David to his knees. You know what? It ain't nothing better than your babies except your grandbabies.
Yeah.
Right? And I tell you, they got his attention. You know what? When you see your kids wrapped up in drugs, I got a niece right now, and I try to pray for her every day. Just totally destroyed. Destroyed life by drugs. You know what? Instead of being criticism, you look into that thing and say, okay, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
Right? See, we don't like that, do we?
No.
But the real problem, that little baby didn't do nothing. It was David.
Yeah.
It was David. And so then we as the Lord's people, why don't we bow before it becomes involved in the family? Why don't we kneel and say, whatever you want, Lord, with me, I'm satisfied with it. Whatever you would like me to do, I'll do it before it begins to impact our family. But we don't, do we? We don't. We let our we put our children at risk. Back to the Revelation, I'm almost done. Revelation chapter 3. The church at Laodicea. Now, I've not seen this but a couple of times among Sovereign Grace Realm since the Lord brought me that truth. But now, back home, right down the road, about 6 miles from where New Testament meets, there's a church called Corinth Baptist Church, a Southern Baptist church. Now, why you would want to name yourself after Corinth, I don't know. But anyway, that's what they did, and you see that from time to time. There's a lot of churches for colored people back home. They named theirs after Ephesus all the time. And I'm like, why would you do that? But now I have to say this, they're in a little bit better shape than Corinth.
Yeah.
But you never, ever hear of Laodicea Baptist Church, do you? Nobody picks that one out of the hat. And for good reason. Right? For good reason, you wouldn't want your church called Laodicea. Now, let's look at the problems that they had in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Man, if you underline in your Bible, you underline that, the faithful and true witness. You know, that's sometimes hard to be. Like I was telling you about having to tell a family that their boy didn't make it. You know what? I would to God, I could have said, he's on his own right now. But you know what? That wouldn't be a faithful and true witness. And you know what? Sometimes it's hard to preach truth, but be a faithful and true witness. You know, and it's hard. It's like sometimes Donna come out and say, Larry, what do you think about this dress? And you're done set up.
Be careful.
You know? How you going to be a faithful and true witness? And so we as the Lord's people, as the men of God, we ought to always be faithful and true. Verse 15, and then he tells it, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. There is the problem with our Sovereign Grace churches. Neither cold nor hot. You know what you need to warm up a church? You need more hot than you got cold. Now, again, some of the stuff Mean Dumb does, I don't always understand, but we got us two calves. And they're still suckling calves. And one day, we were getting ready to go to the barn. Don says, you got this milk too hot. And I said, well, time we get to the barn, it'll be okay. And you know what? It was. Because it'd been exposed to the elements.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the same way, are we not? You know the only agent, you know, what is the working agent of God right now? Holy Spirit, is it not? I will send thee a comforter, right? Then why are we afraid to say his name? Why are we afraid to mention him? Now, I'll say this, we don't want to be labeled a holy roly. And what that is a lie of the pits of hell. Because what it's infringed upon is our understanding of the Holy Ghost. It really has. You know what? You know what you need in 2018? You need a comforter. And I do too. I need some encouragement, and you do too. And the only way that's accomplished, what makes that word a living word, as it refers to itself, is when it's mingled with the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what we need. So they were a lukewarm church, verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You know what they were looking at? The bank account. Learned of a church from a dear friend this week that can't even hardly get their light bill paid. You know, that's a church that needs something, isn't it?
Yeah.
New Testament does fine financially, but that doesn't mean God's meeting with us.
Right?
And so we find then that Laodicea's problem was that they were focused on the wrong thing, and they were too prideful to kneel before God. He says in the rest of the verse, and thou and knowest not. In other words, you can be ignorant. Listen, you know what? I believe Laodicea, and in fact, it's meant, this is not the only place Laodicea church is mentioned. So it was a real, true church, and they were saved folks, saved, redeemed people having these problems. Right? And so he says, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, one thing I want to focus on is the miserable part. How can you know that you're not miserable? I'll tell you this, when you don't feel it anymore.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, me, right? You know, just because we're preaching the 5 points don't mean God's meeting with us. Just because we're bearing down on separation, and y'all know I enjoy that doctrine, doesn't mean God's meeting with us. Right? See, what happens is when we get out of, when we become humble and we get into a sense of humility, then God will meet with us. And until then, you may hang it up because He won't. I counsel thee, I advise thee, I recommend thee to buy of me gold tried in fire that thou mayest be rich. Now, you want to be humble this evening. You want to avoid what happened to the men we read about, to David. My advice to you is this. You buy you some gold. Now, this is the problem. It has to come through the fire. You won't get it by simply sitting on that pew. You will not get it. It may take some illness. It may take a couple of deaths. You know when I realized at a very young age how fragile life is when my great-grandmother died. I was only 4. The only person I ever knew to that day had a very intimate relationship with her. She was gone. You know what? For death to be real, you have to experience. Is that not true?
Yeah.
Then for 25 years as a nurse, death was for old people, right? Until my sister, at 40 years old, died of breast cancer. See, then it comes down to home, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
And we need experiences like that, do we not?
Mm-hmm.
What's got you so prideful tonight? What has caused you to move where you're no longer humble before God? And the humble are followers, and the self-righteous are not. So where are you at in that? Are you willing to bow? Is it embarrassment? We need, as the Lord's people, to be a people that would very gladly and very happily bow before Him and say, not my will, but thy be done.
Amen.